Dream big and save big on your next backyard project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our Crescent Edgers on sale now through April 12th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
saving money on your next project with help from Menards. Be prepared for flooding and keep your basement dry with Barracuda Pumps. Barracuda makes high-quality pumps that offer dependable performance for when you need it most. Save big money on all Barracuda Pumps now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by my two risen from the dead after Easter Sunday boys.
We came out of the hole. We came back out of the hole. We moved the rock. We moved the rock. What is it? The rabbit went blind. What is the fucking stupid ass? It's like the Easter bunny, like they try to like, I remember I was this. Okay. This is like some.
What like, kind of deep Catholicism are you about to tell
like,
us right
now? I don't
some,
like, remember any of this.
This is some like catechism, like Easter activity, get the kids involved kind of thing. But it was like the rabbit saw Jesus come out of the fucking cave and like got turned into like a magic rabbit and like bleached white because he was like,
That's some solid fanfic, dude.
That's like Rudyard Kipling with the elephant that gets like his fucking nose pulled long and shit like that. Like I knew enough to know that it wasn't in the Bible. I was an English major in college. I know what's in the Bible, but I know that's not the only time I've heard that story. Somebody
I've never
out there
heard that story before in my life, and I am a Catholic.
You're
Roman
telling
Catholic.
Me Jesus walks out of that cave.
This
and rabbit
like,
is just standing there. And he's like, "Oh, shit."
He was eating a carrot, and he turned and he saw Jesus came out of the hole, and that carrot just fell right out of his mouth.
He knew,
and he was so stressed out.
The rabbit knew the concept of resurrection and was blown away by it.
He died for the sins of the humans.
Not me though.
Whoa,
I'm still doomed. But
he's like that rabbit was like. That's a visual joke for Patreon.com.
/Chilluminati Pod.
If you are on Patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod, you will see that I did that hilarious thumbnail of the guy pointing behind him with his mouth open. That's what the rabbit did.
That was that rabbit. Yeah, yeah.
That bit.
Feel free to draw your fan art of the rabbit doing that to Jesus. A thumbnail of the rabbit's video where he's like, oh.
Fantastic. Great comedy here at Chilluminati Pod. Bro,
visual comedy.
I have been learning the past like few days that being middle-aged means candy fucks you up in a way that it hasn't fucked me up in a long time. Tootsie Rolls, I think, are the one they're doing it to me. My stomach has been in so much pain the past day.
That's that pre-diabetes. You got to watch out for that shit.
I'm like, all right, I guess I'm not eating Tootsie Rolls. I don't even eat sweets that much, but like, we had some sweets at the house. I had like a good handful of Tootsie Rolls or so, and it has been agony.
Do you like sour candies?
I do like sour candies. Yeah.
I'm gonna send you a link when we're done. I found a candy that's like almost like mostly fiber. It's great.
Is this about to be like
delicious?
This is like an off the air brand deal you're about to send this to
Well, that's why it's off the air because no one's paying me. Yeah. So I'm not gonna promote it.
My wife just came and put bunny ears on my head and I like, I don't even know.
Solid marriage right
it's,
there.
It's perfect.
Yeah, she knew it was up.
So if you want to see these rabbit ears for this hilarious bit, head over to patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. You can see
they're also incredibly sensible.
Yeah,
I don't like when people wear animal ears and they're too big and they look ridiculous. Those are sensible to your head size rabbit ears, and I like this.
And not like for big rabbit ears, they just kind of
they
look good on you, Alex. They'd look sexy on a lady.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. take that as a compliment.
I'm going to say, again, size based. I've seen ears on women and I'm like, nah, those are gross. That's too big. That looks ridiculous.
Final Fantasy stupid. 12, however, very correct size ears.
Sure, sure. But Fran is sexy Chewbacca and will always be. So, like,
it's very true. It's very true.
Everyone's dream, right? Like, there's an entire generation of guys who's like, man, I just want to be in Winnebago to the stars with a sexy Chewbacca.
Sexy Chewbacca. Hell yeah. I get it.
I don't know what generation of men that is, but good for them.
The best, the greatest generation.
Sexy Chewbacca has never been a fantasy.
The greatest generation, World War II, World War I veterans. World War I veterans being like 80 years old watching Star Wars just before they die, being like, I want me one of them sexy Chewbaccas. And a Winnebago into the stars. Winnebago to the stars, 80 years old, Route 66 till I die. Sexy Chewbacca by my side.
The world's changing fast, but not fast enough for me to get a sexy Chewbacca. I don't like it.
Imagine being a World War I veteran and living long enough to play Final Fantasy 12 for the PlayStation 2 and being like, finally.
Yeah, that's it. They just wanted a PS2 version of it.
That's what that Peter Jackson documentary is about. If you haven't watched it, you should check it out.
It was sad. The only guy to play Final Fantasy 12 as an 80-year-old man died in the sewer level, like many other people. He gave up on life. He was like, I'm done.
He was like, this isn't Final Fantasy. I don't like this main character. He's not even, I was fine with Tidus, and this guy's even worse.
This guy sucks, and he just died. Yeah, he gave up on life.
That's fair. I've seen that happen. A lot of people play Final Fantasy 14. They just give up on life after ARR, and then they just die and pass on.
I saw a man get a new life with Final Fantasy 14. I don't know about you. I watched a man change his entire world and find it's like switching from crack to heroin. It was nice.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, but heroin does kill sometimes. So, like, you know, it happens.
You gotta watch it. There's always an element of danger.
You gotta be ready for it.
It's not fun if there's no stakes. It's not
take
fun.
It from us, heroin professionals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lalafells are really small too, so it's like extra. You gotta be extra careful.
Yeah, you gotta be extra careful.
It'll be real easy. You know what's a real great mystery? Since I'm one of the greatest mystery figure outers that exists today and age, it's the mystery of why everyone just accepts that their phone bill is going to be outrageous every month. Thank you so much to Mint Mobile for sponsoring today's episode. Like, somewhere along the way, we all just agreed that handing a big carrier $80, $100, $150 bucks a month was just part of being a functional adult. Nobody questioned it. Just was what it was. Except it really isn't, I figured out in my deep research. Mint Mobile has been out here proving that wrong with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 bucks a month. High-speed data, unlimited talk and text, running on the nation's largest 5G network. The coverage is the same. The speed is the same. The only thing that changes is you stop hemorrhaging money every month for no reason. Switching is so painless too. Bring your own phone, bring your number, activate with an eSIM in a few minutes, and that's it. No contracts, no runaround, no free perks that quietly inflate your bill 6 months later. If you need to cut down on monthly expenses, this is a great way to goddang do it. If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/chill. That's mintmobile.com/chill. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for the first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. Jesse, you're in charge today, so what the fuck are we doing?
Well, if I'm in charge, let me remind everyone to go over to patreon.com.
Oh,
and
man.
To Illuminati it up, y'all, because we love having you over there. And we are also planning right now a brand new Rotten Popcorn. I have no idea what they're going to make me watch, but these gentlemen are talking about something.
I think I know what I'm going to make you watch. I think I know what I want to watch at the very least. It's Please. Like the talk of the town. We must watch it somehow.
The talk
we'll figure
of
it out.
The town?
What?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
The talk of the town. Is it that movie where the moon crashes into Earth? That's pretty topical.
No.
Yeah, that's right on top. Yeah, that's a good time.
And it's like hollow or whatever, and there's aliens. That's pretty topical.
Is that Dianetics? No.
Oh, God. Dianetics.
Speaking of topical, today's topic is a fun one. If you're like us and you've been playing Resident Evil 9 lately, you've definitely got the T-Virus or Las Plagas or Raccoon City
on the
brain. What is
it called? Raccoon City Syndrome? Where you get like
Raccoon
a bunch
City
of worms.
Syndrome, whatever that is.
You turn into like the texture of like a playground, like dodgeball, basically. I don't really know exactly what was happening, but it looked kind of like that was what was going on.
And so that inspired me to go back to a topic that we haven't really talked about in a while. That was the mysterious dancing plague, where if you remember, there was a small town where people just started dancing and they danced to the point of death. And no one really understands.
The preacher was so mad and he said, I told you so. And they all died. And it was called Tightfoot. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know what that reference is.
It's a Footloose reference. It's not good. Never seen it wasn't Footloose, good. I just took a stab in the dark. You gotta set him up to put him down, you know.
It's improv, right? Like yeah. It must be really difficult to improv movie references to somebody who hasn't
seen
get
movie references.
You know something, like, Mathis?
He still tries.
Yeah, I do. It's for the listener. I'm thinking about those guys out there that have seen a movie or two. You know what I mean?
I've seen movies.
That's true. You have seen movies.
He has seen a movie or two. That's true.
He has seen two movies. I can confirm that.
But this dancing plague was a bizarre thing we talked about in a previous episode. Please go back and listen. I always wanted to do a follow-up on that. And now seems like a really good time to do that because it brought up some wild implications about people, about, you know, just living life and the way our brains work. And I'll try to explain what I mean by that. So stick with me. What I want to do is take us back to the late 1800s. It's 19th century Europe, and this strange occurrence is taking place that is essentially people would just randomly one day start walking, not really sure why, where they're going, how they're going to get wherever they're going to, and then just forget why they had done it and end up in some cases just starting a new life. And then found are like, what? Huh? What?
Are you telling me about the very first Brody Quest right now?
I'm telling you about dromomania.
Dromomania?
That is the definitional word of what it's called.
That does sound like something your local skate park would have had in like the 90s.
Dromomania 1996. Come on down. Get a tri-tip sandwich from your dad. He's cooking it. Come on down to Dromomania.
Yeah, a type of movie that features like a goop monster man, but also like a lot of weird like 70s style edits. Yeah.
We have an iguana at Dromomania.
We turned to like Wolfman Jack all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. Dromomania, baby. It's 1961. And it's time for Dromomania.
It's a small town, local famous iguana from the zoo.
Mm-hmm. So the best known example of this, and the one we'll kind of focus on today, is a documented case in the European medical establishment at the time. It was a guy named Jean-Albert Dadas. I hope that's how you say it's, or it could be Jean Albert Deadass.
But Jean Albert Deadass.
Jean Albert probably Deadass. A gas fitter from Bordeaux, France, was admitted to the Saint-André hospital in 1886. But he's one of many people, just the most widely reported one, who suffered from dromomania at the time. If you're wondering, Jesse, because, you know, the teacher that I am, you're like, wait a minute, what is a gas fitter? Literally, it's what it sounds like. A gas fitter is someone who specializes in installing and maintaining gas pipes.
Gas fitter playing at Dromomania.
Dromomania, gas fitter.
Gas fitter's playing is opening live at Dromomania.
The crazy thing is that I didn't realize this was a thing. There is coal gas. I know there's natural gas, but there's coal gas,
like,
which literally
healthy.
like a byproduct of burning coal.
You
or like
literally
coal
just burn it so hot that it like leaves the coke and other impurities and creates a gas that then you use to pump into homes to like light stuff. And it was,
did I just learn like everything? Did I just learn like the missing link of energy just now?
It is, and I mean this, very toxic and awful.
Yes. Sounds like a rock that's a gas, bro. Come on. Yeah.
You burn a rock so hot, it creates gas. That's great.
It is very, very gross. And if you look at like the byproducts, it leaves a lot. It's not the most effective way to light stuff. But at the time, in the late 1800s, it was all the craze in Europe. Probably in the Americas, too, I would imagine. That's why everything, major cities, looked as smoggy and gross and nasty as they did.
Yeah, back then, right? Not today.
Yeah, now it's for a totally different reason.
Yeah.
Gas involved, though. Anyway, while working as a gas fitter, Dadas was given some money at one point to go off and buy some stuff for his work, and then he just straight up vanished. He was later found sitting in a bench in Paris by, I think... like a friend of his. And they were like, what are you doing, bro? And he was like, huh? What? What's going on? What do you mean? He didn't even realize he was in Paris.
So somebody recognized him who already knew him and was just like, what the fuck are you doing here, man?
Yes, because he had gone missing. People like assumed he was dead or something. No one knew. He returns to work, endeavors to pay off the, I think it was like 100 francs or something, and says, my bad, I'm so sorry about that. That kind of happens. And his boss was like, all right. And I guess because he was a good worker and did his like shit, they just let him keep the job and pay back the money. And he did his thing.
Listen, I don't ask any questions. I don't care if you're just in some kind of fugue state, bro. Just do your job, man, and you're good. I don't care what's going on in your personal life.
Keep home at home. Don't bring it
if
to
you
work.
Don't remember your family, I don't care. Just don't talk about them at work. Just do your job, bro.
Do you remember how to clock in and clock out? You're fine.
That's all he cares. Yeah. I imagine as a gas fitter, they were like, we'll take whatever we can get.
As a gas fitter, most of their workers are like losing their mental faculties over time.
Yes. So they're like, this. It happens.
Yeah. Oh, this happens to every gas guy. You got the thing where you don't remember.
You just wander off. Yeah, no, yeah. I get that.
No problem.
But this has been happening to him for a while. When he was 12, he wandered away from his home without telling anyone, his family, anyone, only to be found one town over, employed as a salesman for an umbrella manufacturer. His brother finds him carrying a cart of umbrellas, and he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, huh? What the hell are these?
Like, what happens to the other guy? That's my question. It's like Moon Knight. It's like when he drops the fucking... He's like, oh no, oh, and then he wakes up and he's like killed everyone. Like,
yeah, where's
like,
the other personality going? What is that personality like before he's interrupted? Is he like a totally different dude? Is he very charismatic when he's out as a salesman, but at home he's a sheepish little shy boy?
That's the crazy thing is we don't have any reports of that. But clearly, and as we get into some of the things he did, he must have had a personality because he's interacting with people.
I'm immediately wondering if it's like a form of DID. Right? Like a form of like multiple personality that you like, she triggers and shifts you into.
But keep in mind, this isn't just him. This is a thing that's happening to many people at the time in Europe. And he's just like the most common case, like the one they talk about.
How wild would it be if one of us was living that life right now and somebody randomly is like listening to us like, I know that guy. They come visit you and you suddenly.
I'm actually like a Bulgarian guy. Yeah.
You wake up and you're no longer like Alex. I don't understand. What is podcast? Yeah. He's been out like 25 years before podcasts even existed. So I don't, what do you mean?
I invented the podcast. What do you mean?
So as I said, this was a common occurrence in his life. The way he described it, he would black out. And the next thing you know, he'd be somewhere else. He'd wake up in the middle of walking. He'd wake up on a train headed to places he didn't know.
So he'd know exactly who he was when somebody was like, what are you doing? He'd just be right back.
Yeah. And eventually this guy becomes so famous in like the medical world that people in Europe read about him. And so when he keeps doing it, there'll be people that spot him and they're like, oh, you're that guy. But he's out of it. So he just does his thing.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. One story is that he somehow found himself on a ship headed to Algeria. And in order to get home, he had to scrub pots in the galley, only for him to be arrested for working as an undocumented agricultural laborer.
Wait, where am I? How did I get here?
How do you even explain to somebody that you don't even know what podcasting is because it didn't exist when you left Bulgaria?
I get, maybe you'll answer this, Jesse, but like, do we know if he's like, when he's going into these fugue states, he's adopting a personality who knows what they're doing?
He clearly knows what he's doing when he's in a fugue state, but we don't know much else about it because no one's reporting on him in the fugue states. It only happens when he's like, we'll get to it. So it's interesting here. So his most insane journey, the one that I was like, what? And it's eventually the one that made him actually go seek help, was he went and joined the French army. And while serving, deserted his post and went on a journey into Prague, Berlin. At one point, he was in Prussia and got attacked by a dog, ended up in a hospital. Someone there recognized him and was like, oh, you're that guy, helped him out and then let him go. And then he eventually walked to Moscow, where while there, Tsar Alexander II was assassinated by revolutionaries, and apparently Dadas had like nihilistic shit on him or something. So they toss him in jail with the other revolutionaries thinking he might be involved.
Dude, what if he's the Winter Soldier of his time?
Maybe, dude. I don't know.
So wait. So he woke up in a Russian prison?
Yes. Oh, no. It's even worse than that. He woke up 3 months later when they marched his ass to Constantinople with a bunch of other prisoners to get them out of Russia. And then, like, when he was there, he was like, oh, what the hell? And he contacted the French consulate and they were like, here's some money to go home.
It'd be kind of baller to wake up and be in shape.
You're right.
Yeah. Where did these muscles come from?
I'm sure I'd have like some kind of like scurvy and like ripped holes in my feet and shit also, but
when he wakes up from these fugue states, does he remember his fugue states?
No, he says it's like blacking out and then he wakes up someplace different.
This man has early onset dementia, I think.
That's so crazy.
Good yeah. Lord.
So after this ordeal, he eventually in 1886 goes to the hospital that I mentioned before. And under the care of Philippe Auguste Tissé, he's diagnosed with what is, you know, known as dromomania, the uncontrollable urge to wander.
The uncontrollable urge to party. Dromomania, 1999.
So they learned that he could only recall his travels while under hypnosis.
And then he's got perfect recall.
And we all know how extremely, like,
exactly, which is why it's not entirely reliable, but that's what the doctor said, is under hypnosis, he would regale them with tales of what he did. But again, that could be anything. It could be made up. No one really knows.
Hypnosis is so frustrating because it's like, it is literally on the border of useful and nonsense. And there is beneficial uses for hypnosis, but
like, what, dude? Come on, dude.
Doctors around Europe begin to notice that, like, it isn't like once this guy becomes a thing, doctors start noticing this is happening all over the place. And now they have dromomania as like, this is a diagnosis. And they start seeing more and more people they called fugueurs. I hope that's how you spell it. It's F-U-G-U-E-U-R. It's the French verb for to run away. That's just what they start calling these people.
Fugueurs.
And along with Tissé's writings, Ian Hacking covers this in a 1998 book called Mad Traveler's Reflections on the Reality of Transient Mental Illness. And he says this, and I'm just going to put this here for, let's say, Mathis to read.
He would live his life in a routine and productive manner, but at some point, he would experience headaches, anxiety, sweats, and insomnia. Then, off he would go. His travels would not be without effects. He was arrested numerous times, usually for matters related to vagrancy. In Moscow, he was arrested and held for 3 months with political prisoners, some of whom were removed for execution.
My God.
He was forcibly marched with other undesirables to the border of the Ottoman Empire and dumped. He had to find his own way home. Man, that sentence right there just makes me want to go play Europa Universalis 5. He deserted the army at one point and was sentenced to 3 years hard labor, but because of his condition, served only 8 months. He convinced a friend to travel with him, but the friend succumbed to exhaustion and died in Belgium. His mother passed away during one of his wanderings. He had been engaged to marry, but his behavior brought an end to that relationship.
So is this guy just like a fucking... Did he find the cheat code for life? Did he just go, you know what? Actually, I'm going to just forget everything again. If you know what I'm saying.
I mean, but that's the thing is, I think that's what they're trying to say here. Ian Hacking is trying to say the idea that like, this isn't just wanderlust. This guy was suffering from something because it was affecting his life dramatically to the point where people are dying because of his just wandering off.
He was sentenced to hard labor in a fucking prison. Like that can't be what he was
hoping for. This isn't just like a guy who's trying to get away. And that's the thing that I think is very interesting about this is that while today we have the idea of people who just wander off in Japan, there's a whole industry built around people who just disappear on purpose. They're like either they shame their family in some way or they're trying to get out of a marriage or whatever. And because societal norms, right? They just disappear.
Like, night movers is the thing is with the people who can help you like vanish in Japan, right?
Yeah. And no one will look for you. They're like, no, it's all right. And that's, I mean, it's a thing that happens. But in this case, it is something's going on with this guy.
There is that aspect of like you could vanish. But the fact that there's paperwork to prove that this guy existed, like being in prison and stuff, is what makes it interesting to me, because it is one of those things is like, what is happening to the human mind when this is going on? I'm already just thinking of like, what could this be? I imagine it doesn't. It still happens in modern day. Do we have? I mean, you're going to keep going, obviously, but I wonder if we have a lot of modern day cases of that we can look at of these people.
So don't worry. We're going into modern day with stuff today for sure. So in the latter half of the 19th century, they became, you know, that we had these few heirs, but they also became known as Dromanians.
Dromanians?
Dude, it's like the,
that's
it's
too
like
much.
The Dromanians are the fans of Dromomania, like the insane clown posse, and they're like people.
And it becomes like a real problem. In Maud Casey's book, The Man Who Walked Away, it's kind of like a fictionalized account of the story, but at the time she went around and like did as much research as possible. She mentions that during this time period, there was a rash of others just like him, mostly men who were not vagrants or tramps, or like homeless dudes. We're talking average, everyday guys, clean, sober, unassuming, and they would just wander off.
No problems?
No problems. They just wander off.
No affairs? What the fuck?
At the time, this was all very easy to do because Europe was not nearly as border secure as it would become 20 or so years later when the advent of World War One and all of Europe is securing itself and everyone's really tense. This is a time period where like you could just move freely across borders and very few people are going to stop you from doing so.
Yeah, no, it was back then. You could like for a long time in history, like I don't think some listeners would probably understand how easy it was to vanish completely, to abandon your identity, and as long as you had the means to move somewhere within a like a state's distance or like a country's distance in Europe or whatever, like you could just go.
How could somebody possibly find you?
There's no technology, no
most
surveillance.
People knew only their town.
Someone recognized your face for some reason, because traveling maybe was a little bit more common, but it took a lot longer. Like you could just fuck in for a long time until I would say like the 80s and 90s. It was up to then. It was easy to just fucking hop states, jump countries, and just fucking disappear.
We talk about serial killers in the 70s. Yep. It was easier to do it then.
Walking out, just walking on out of town.
Yeah. Also, I want to point out for the historical record, it's really funny that he was marched to the Ottoman Empire, which still existed up until World War One. Just a reminder: the Ottoman Empire still existed.
That is crazy.
The interesting thing about all this is looking back on his life, there could be several things that actually sparked this. He was born in 1860 and he had a history of concussions. Once falling out of a tree, for example, he like fell out of a tree. He had fits of vomiting, migraines. He also, his mother died when he was 17 and his father was a syphilitic hypochondriac who spent all their money.
Okay, so he was syphilitic though? Or he said he was.
Well, he said his father was a syphilitic hypochondriac.
So he's syphilitic, but he's a hypochondriac.
Yes. So he has syphilis, okay. And he, you know, what are you going to do? Maybe because he got syphilis, he became like a hypochondriac. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the thing that's interesting is that it could be the concussions set this all off. It could be his terrible home life set this all off. It could be both. Just like when we talk about serial killers or people who have like various traumas, there's a lot of factors that go into it.
I was doing a little bit of looking up too. And the other thing that like people are talking about at this time is like, this is at a time during a rise of tourism. There was drafting anxieties. There was a lot more like military anxieties and like, new pressures on a human mind that had never had to deal with before, as well as like traveling and tourism, which was a new thing. I bet you that broke minds back then that were not built to understand these concepts in a way that we do.
And fascinatingly enough, it also is the other end of it too, that many, you know, as this was being reported and more men were just like vanishing, there is the idea that is put forth on this that a lot of them probably saw Dadas and others and were just using this as a way to get out of responsibilities and milk it like it's the real thing. This was a time period where men were expected to start a family, be at home, work a job, like just live in their town, that kind of stuff.
Like, oh, that's a thing? Oh, dude, I don't remember what I'm doing either. I have to go sell some bread and fucking Austria instead.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Some people literally, even in the military, like if you're in the military and you're like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, wandering off is really convenient. If you can say, oh, it's Dromomania. That's what I'm suffering from. It was like a real convenient diagnosis for being non-conformative.
That's pretty fucking like sad, funny, weird all at once. Just kind of insane that people were like, oh, I could just walk away from my life. Let me just do that.
Bye.
Yeah. Later.
Eventually, physicians in the British Medical Journal characterized dermomania as this impulse control disorder, similar to kleptomania, you know, stealing things, pyromania, burning things, dipsomania, which is drinking.
Back then, right, like people weren't living to be happy most of the time. People were doing what they were supposed to be doing, working jobs their family forced them, arranged marriages, like unhappy relationships, forced to have kids just to have workers on a farm. Like so much of your life is dedicated to making your life survivable that how much of it are you ever enjoying anything to the point where you eventually just fucking snap?
I love this because you're absolutely correct and not much has changed, to be honest.
No, absolutely.
And we'll get to it. Yeah. But like, yeah, the human condition is not one designed to be like constantly bombarded by bullshit.
No, the humans were evolved to be relatively like in a community and relaxed. Mm-hmm. And like they do hunting, gathering, but a lot of like downtime,
that's
a lot
survive.
Of rest time.
Yeah, exactly.
And then this whole like rat race we find ourselves in, capitalism at its fucking core, is like designed to never, ever let you ever relax until you're so old. You're like, oh, I wasted my life working.
Yep. Oh, is that why I'm so tired?
is that why most people burn out in their mid to late 30s is right the average age of like a person who hasn't really like given themselves time to self-explore and chill.
Yep.
Burn out and fucking explode. A lot of when mental illnesses really go over like the edge. Like that's what it was for my mom. Like right at 35, that shit was just like, and it's too late. Like, yep. Take care of yourself. But the system's built don't want you to.
That's why a lot of celebrities, you know, die at 27, 28, 29, 30. Just because of like the life they lead, plus all the pressures of said life. Yeah.
Yeah. And you think that a lot of these people have like really relaxed lives, but it's a whole, their life becomes their industry. And now you never get any privacy to like be you ever.
Right.
Just difficult to be internet famous is what I'm saying.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real fame.
I know.
I'm not talking about bullshit podcast fame.
Oh, I know. Like, come on now.
It's hard like to be me.
Three dudes at a Starbucks recognize you once.
It's hard to be me. It's hard to be me.
Yeah. No.
One time I had to go to Disneyland and somebody saw me there.
No, that's... No, my ego, I thrive on that. I suck your life force when you see me. You keep me alive.
You're an energy vampire.
Yeah.
You're an energy vampire.
If you come to a signing, I leech off of you. But for roughly two decades at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, this kind of madness spread through psychological circles in France and the rest of Europe. And like I said, many use the word dromomania as sort of a one size fits all kind of thing to describe what was happening. Because there were both real cases and cases that were just people, you know, wandering off. But the thing that eventually occurred was they realized it wasn't necessarily a disease or a plague or a virus or a mania on its own, but really a symptom of other things. An example that they have is schizophrenia.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Back then, mental health wasn't really a thing. I'm sure they were like, it's got to be a virus. It's got to be this. And when they're left with nothing else, they're like, I guess it's a disease of the mind.
Just something. It's a weird thing, guys. You have it. You're fucked.
And so they realize, oh, it's probably just associated with other things. And this is just an outcome of all of that. And like I said, with World War One coming, traveling between nations became harder and harder. And plus this new association with various other illnesses and possible treatments for that. This plague of wanderers died off in like 23 years. Just gone.
It just fell out of fashion.
Pretty much, yeah. And I'm sure people are wondering, like, what happened to Dadas? Well, he managed to marry a woman who stuck through all of his wanderings until eventually she dies of tuberculosis while he's gone. He has a daughter who he was gone. The wife is dead, so she gets adopted, but then gets abducted while he's not there.
By aliens?
By a person, not an alien. And then eventually Dadas is found dead in a well.
Damn.
So this isn't a wanderlust story. This isn't a good story. This guy was suffering from something.
Now that makes sense though. Like out of all the deaths, him ending up dead in a well somewhere makes complete sense with his life. Like, yeah. I'm surprised it didn't happen earlier in his life. It's crazy because, like, I want to know, where did he sleep? What did he eat? What was his personality?
Sometimes on the street. So that's what I'm saying. Like,
how do you set up? How do you get like credit to pay rent? Like, how do you?
I think you're absolutely right that he was moon knighting. I think there was another, like, he had another person in him, and there were probably many other people that kind of snapped or broke in that way, which is why there was this sort of plague of this. But I wanted to focus on him specifically because I like the idea that is put forth by a lot of psychologists that, you know, DDoS and others are a trigger or a catalyst of events. So thinking back to the dancing plague, it all started with that one woman who just started dancing through town, and others saw her and were like, what the hell is going on? And then over time, others started dancing and others started to get into it. And DDoS, while he's roaming, when he becomes reported, suddenly everyone else is noticing, oh my God, this is happening to other people. Now, is it because it was happening or because he was this catalyst for others to say, oh, I can do that? To give other examples, and this one is a more recent one, there's a pretty famous case from Tanzania in 1962. At the time, Tanzania was called Tanganyika. It was in East Africa, and there was a small British-run boarding school. And the story goes that three girls began laughing at like a joke that was told, and then just didn't stop. These fits of laughter began to spread to other classmates, and eventually 95 of the 159 girls in the school were laughing uncontrollably, like to the point of like physical creepiness? Pain, yeah. Crying, just like,
what?
It would last anywhere from a few days, from a few hours to a few days. I think one report was 16 days.
Dude, I get tired after laughing at a bit for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. There's one moment when I was filming Beard Bros with you, and we laughed at a joke that was so goofy. It might have been a minute of laughter, and I almost felt like I was going to pass out.
Mm-hmm. I felt like I had to go to the hospital before.
Yeah, it was so fun. But like that, your body just, you're not designed to laugh that hard that long. It's like when the Joker gasses people and they laugh themselves to death.
Yeah, that's fucked up, dude.
Yeah. And so, the girls were experiencing pain. They had trouble breathing. They had rashes. They had exhaustion that led them to pass out from laughing. It was crazy. They would not know how to respond to the pain. So they would lash out violently at people. Anyone trying to help them, they would like spasm and attack them. And the thing that's interesting is many of the victims claimed that they were scared of something, and others claimed that something was chasing them, although no real descriptions were ever given.
Something was chasing them?
Interesting. Yeah.
Now we're in like a Doctor Who episode.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doctors, psychologists, people were called in to help. No one could explain what the hell was going on. There were no toxins. There were no viruses. There was no environmental factors. Lab tests showed nothing. And this lasted from January till March.
That is like a horror. That's like a Cthulhu level horror.
Yeah. These poor girls were going through it. Finally, in March, based on the demands of parents and the stupefying nature of the case, the girls were sent home to their various villages. And according to a 1963 Central African Medical Journal, and this one I'm going to give to Alex mostly because I want to see you try to pronounce all these names. Have fun.
About 10 days after the Kashasha school was closed for the first time and people sent home, the disease broke out at Nshamba Village Complex, 55 miles west of Bukoba. Several of the sick girls from Kashasha came from this village. During April and May, 217 people out of a total 10,000 were attacked. A further outbreak occurred in the village of Kanyangareka, 20 miles from Bukoba on 18th June. A pupil from Ramashenye School had been sent home to this village on the 17th as she was impossible to control at the school. What the fuck does that mean? The outbreak in her village occurred in her immediate family with involvement of the sister, 16, brother, 9, and mother-in-law, 18. The sister-in-law of the father walked 10 miles to see how the sick schoolgirl was, and within a few hours was also laughing and violent.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we talking about here?
It would cause you to just start laughing and then become like your body would attack people.
What are we talking? Like that's nuts.
That does sound like the Joker gas.
It really does. Like. But again, it's like that dancing plague. It's a loss of control of your body where your body just kind of like starts freaking out. And in this case, it's laughter and attacking others. As the girls like left the school and fanned out to their various communities, like that said, all this behavior spread. Families and people in the village started laughing. In the end, like over 1,000 people got infected. Families and governments enlisted all sorts of experts to come in and try to give them any sort of clue as to what was going on. And for 18 months, this would flare up and disappear, mostly in girls, mostly just cracking up and losing control, like young women just losing it.
That is fucking crazy. That is so much scarier than I imagined it would be when I've heard this in passing before.
Interestingly enough, there's zero cases of any village headmen, school teachers, police, anyone of any status or position in the communities being affected, which I think is very interesting.
I wonder why.
Again, no real explanation can be found, much like DDoS and the others. We don't really know. Like the dancing plague, we don't really know, leading many to believe this is a case of mass hysteria or mass psychogenic illness. And, you know, the reasons for all that we'll get into. So doctors and scientists have studied this kind of thing for a long time, and there's all sorts of ways it can kick off. But the flow is like this. One, there is a trigger. In this case, laughter. In the other case, dancing.
Like a bit? Like, is the trigger? Well, or something like that?
Something. So in the case of the girls, they started laughing at a joke, and then they couldn't stop laughing. And people saw they couldn't stop laughing, right? DDoS would wander off and escape his life. And people saw him doing that, or the one girl dancing, and she just couldn't stop dancing. People saw. So, like, there's an inciting incident, mm-hmm. right? It's one person, or in the case of the girls, three people start a thing. From then on, there's the introduction of authority figures. This is two. Basically, people of power come in, see something's wrong, invite medical professionals or someone of equal authority, and when they can't figure it out, it leads to rumors and increased awareness of the situation because people in power came to look and it became weird. So it becomes like a conspiracy almost of like, what aren't they telling us? And why is she doing that? And what's going on? Like that kind of thing.
That is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's just like a glitch, like a software glitch.
Kind of, yeah, but in the brain, yes. The more people worry, the more it seeps into your mind. If you hear about someone getting sick or you see someone getting sick, it may make you feel sick too. And it's really interesting because all these different things had like, you know, various illness factors. But when people would get tested, there's nothing wrong with them.
Reminds me of... I have to look them up. There's like a story of a woman in, it might be early 2000s, where she convinces herself like she's being stalked by like CIA, you know, kind of like a psychotic break.
Sure.
But her sister, I believe, tries to stop her and somehow got her sister convinced of it as well while she was trying to stop her. And then the two of them just went off for like a week of just like chaos of them running away from something that was in existence. Like
that seems so like impossible for me to imagine happening to myself, but
right. Like, I wonder, but like there are cases even to the day of right. like this, like shared psychosis.
I like, yeah, I know it to be true. You know, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
The real interesting thing about all of it though, is that no matter what in all these stories, even in modern times, there is a link that appears to indicate that stress, headaches, and disassociation happen in all of these cases.
It's got to be something in the mind. It's got to be a brain thing. It's got to be.
Yeah. In the case of the girls, it was probably, and this is an assumption, but it feels to me correct. It was probably anxiety based on the fact that, like, you know, these girls were in an unfamiliar British-run school with unfamiliar expectations and not included in any of these stories, but very real. Barely a month before the incident, Tanganyika got its independence. So it was an uncertain time for the people.
So they just kind of went mad.
A little bit, yeah. In this situation, a young person, either girls from this young school or DDoS, who was young, or the young dancing woman, a lot of young people don't have the mental capacity to cope healthily with a lot of stress. So the body expresses itself a lot of the time by giving off physical emotes of I'm suffering and something is going on. A lot of times, young, you know, especially having been a young man, I did some crazy shit as a teen.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Acting out. And that's just a thing young people do. But I was never under the level of stress that a lot of these people probably were. And so they kind of like mentally broke, but not in like a way that's kind of like their brain shuts off, but in a way that their body takes over. And then just there's nothing they can do. Many times they recognize what they're doing is happening and they can't stop themselves. It's like if you get an eye twitch and it keeps happening and you're like, I don't know why it's happening. I can't stop it from happening. It just keeps happening.
Hell, even like some of like I imagine a lot of people experience this too. If you get really mad, right? And like you're experiencing like a rage, you still have the thought above it of being like, I am furious and I shouldn't be doing this right now, but you can't control it. You know,
sometimes you still do it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and that is a fascinating thing in and of itself. Yeah,
sometimes you simply still do it.
Like your body literally takes over.
Yeah, the girls, in their case, they were going through a lot of stress, and the laughter is how they coped. And then others, according to the sort of list of things, saw these girls coping with this stress, and subconsciously recognizing this as a coping mechanism, others would do the same because they saw it was, you know, air quotes, working.
Mm.
It was releasing tension, even though not the healthiest way to do that. Like the dancing plagues, right? Going back to that time, we talked about this in the episode, but just to reiterate, bread prices were higher than ever. There was flooding, so farms were completely messed up. Leprosy and the plague were happening. Syphilis just became a big thing. Like, it was a stressful time to be in the countryside as a peasant. And that just shows that was another example of this happening, right?
I wonder if today, an example we can look at with how, because things are kind of fucking crazy in the world right now.
I have examples. Don't you worry. But I have examples.
Part of it is, I wonder if AI psychosis
is part of that. For sure.
Part of this of like, because like they're being convinced by AI that some of these people are being convinced they're the chosen one, or like they've broken through like all these other things that
it's
kind of
definitely
give them a fake life.
Thing in our brain. It's definitely a thing that we're ready to jump onto for sure.
Because it gives you comfort in a world that is very stressful, and it makes you like, there's a video. I don't know who made it, so I'm going to have to just say, Google it. But there's this guy who made a video where he's talking to ChatGPT, and he keeps asking it about the silent S. And ChatGPT is like, how do you spell ChatGPT with the silent S? And ChatGPT is like, oh yeah, no, the silent S is there. And then it'll be like GPT. And he's like, but you didn't say the silent S. And it's like, oh, you're right. Well, that's because some people say it, but the official terminology, it just like bullshitted to him.
Yep.
And that just shows you what it does. He kept being like, yeah, but you didn't say the S. And it was like, oh, well, that's because the S is there, but it's silent. And he's like, oh, okay, then spell it for me. And it would spell it GPT. And he's like, you didn't say the S. It's like, well, that's because the official term is GPT. But many people say the S. He's like, well, what do many people say? And the ChatGPT is like, well, they say it with an S. He's like, so say it like other people say it. And then it goes GPT. And he's like, well, where's the S? And it's like, well, it's there, which is insane. That it just kept saying yes to him, even though it would also tell him no.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
It would lie to you with the confidence of 1,000 fucking suns, dude.
And then
that should be so illegal.
Right. But it's designed to give you feedback and make you feel like what you're asking it makes you feel smart.
That is fucking nuts, bro.
Another really incredible version of all that we're talking about that almost acts like a lab study because it's so specific and so confined is this sort of hysteria and possession sickness happening to nuns in the 1400s to 1700s all across Europe. While people on the outside of the convents are going absolutely crazy with their own problems, like dancing or whatever, inside the convents, these nunneries, nuns are living these protected lives in like a little petri dish of toxic psychological behavior. Even the most well-managed of convents and nunneries, nuns started acting absolutely bonkers. We're talking tales of possession, crazy sex acts, meowing like cats, attacking other nuns, and wilder stuff. And I'll give you an example of wilder stuff. This blew my mind and I laughed so hard. Many nuns during this time claimed that they were having sexual relationships with demons, and the demons were named things like dog's dick, fornification, and ash-colored pussy.
I love that.
But you can see as a nun, saying these things is like foreboding. You know what I mean?
Yeah. God says no ash-colored pussy for you.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Alex is just lost right now. He's confused.
I'm trying to like this type of shit is like extra fascinating to me because it feels like it's in all of our brains.
Yes.
It feels like all of us have the potential to like have a demon called ash-colored pussy in our minds. And just thinking about the fact that like nothing is really happening to them and thinking about like when we were in COVID, how mushy we became in our brains and like how my behavior today is still not like back to what it
was. We're still recovering. It messed us up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, literally and worldwide trauma.
Yeah. I like don't leave my house a lot. You know what I mean? Like it's fucking weird.
Habits were changed.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And that's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
It's also nothing the part really... is the human brain is always looking for a reason, always looking for control. If it has no control over a situation, anxiety, like panic, like
that's what a good lead in. There is a really famous story in the British Psychological Society of a Mother Superior. I'm going to assume Jean or Jean de Agnes of Loudun Nunnery in the south of France. She becomes absolutely infatuated with this guy, Father Grandier, in 1627. She later confesses, when I did not see him, I burned with desire for him. In consequence, she felt so overwhelmed with the worthlessness and guilt of lusting after a man as a nun that after weeks of painful penance and introspection and like hating herself, she enters this kind of like disassociative state during which she repeatedly accused the father of plotting with Satan to make her lust after him. And then within days, other nuns start to do this as well. And so now an entire nunnery is like, this guy is in league with Satan and he's trying to make us all want to bone this. Like he's trying to make us all want to fuck him.
It's very Salem witch trials-y.
It's like a porn version of the Crucible.
Yeah. And what ends up happening is they all point the finger at this priest who's like, what are you talking about? And the Inquisition comes to investigate and decides, yeah, he's in league with the devil and burns him alive.
Based on what?
Based on all the nuns being like, this guy's in league with the devil.
Nuns wouldn't lie.
He was too hot.
Yeah, he was hot. His jaw too chiseled.
That's fucking crazy, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Sociologist Robert E. Bartholomew said the following, and I'll just leave this for Mathis to read because I think it's fascinating and real.
Young girls typically were coerced by elders into joining these socially isolating religious orders, practicing rigid discipline in confined all-female living quarters. Their plight included forced vows of chastity and poverty. Many endured bland, near-starvation diets, repetitious prayer rituals, and lengthy fasting intervals. Punishment for even minor transgressions included flogging and incarceration.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see blaming a priest for being in league with the devil instead of having to deal with the punishment.
Yes, of feeling bad, of lusting. You'd be punished for it. Like
that is so crazy that just like being told like, you should never lie, like works. Like you're like, fuck.
Not to mention the timing of the nuns acting out started in the 1400s, which is really interesting because at that time, an evangelical reform movement was happening in the church and reformers were striving to enact more strict spiritual codes, having nuns, like it said, do all sorts of like crazy tasks, spurn all vanity. Right. Limit what food you eat to the most bland crap imaginable and very little of it. Extreme abstinence. And I'll be honest, I don't know what the extreme in that is.
What's the difference between abstinence and extreme?
That's what I'm saying. Extreme abstinence sounds crazy. Also, self-abasement, which is basically like constantly belittling yourself.
Maybe extreme abstinence is learning how to lucid dream. So you also never have.
Yeah. You never like think about it. Like, I don't know. And then also there was this routine they instructed that was like, when you meditate, don't think about God. Think about Satan and hell. So you really are afraid.
That is not the point of meditation at
all. That's what they were trying. That's what they were trying to do. They're like, when you pray,
unknown.
When you pray, pray the devil away. Think about that all the time.
Oh my God.
Pray the devil away every time, or else you're doing it wrong.
So combine it with the fact that these young women, like Mathis said, weren't used to this. Many of the women that go into being a nun aren't like poor girls, you know, working on the farm. They're the daughters of like rich middle and upper class peoples. And so they're used to life a different way. And then suddenly they're in a convent and treated completely different. It will break you.
If it's anything like Crusader Kings, the minute I have a daughter that has some bad traits, I sign her up to the nunnery and she is gone.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they would do. Yes.
Go away.
And this would make them go nuts.
I don't want her in my kingdom. If I got a bad son, he goes to the front lines. He just goes to whatever skirmish I've got, and I hope he dies.
In 1658, a nunnery in France was assigned a new mother superior who was one of these reformists. She was so strict, nuns began to start acting like absolutely crazy. It was at the time considered a possession incident. It lasted for years, to the point the mother superior was accused of being a witch, killing babies, sleeping with other nuns, etc. Eventually, there was like no evidence, but she was moved to a different position somewhere else. And wouldn't you know it, all the possessions stopped when she left.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I even wrote a little note here. Speaking of witches, this is entirely like the Salem witch trials.
Yep.
It is like, just there's the thing that we don't talk about that much. That's this. And I think if you look at magic too, like, as a thing, like, it can be this kind of too,
like, yeah, psychological breaking, like
you're like kind of breaking your own mind a little bit psychologically,
yeah,
to like do stuff sometimes, if you know what I'm saying.
I do.
Yeah,
chaos magic.
It's the power of the mind, man. It's fascinating. Like, there's studies even today that show people are more likely to fall into these trances or hysterias or believe in spiritual possession or whatever, if you are open to the idea of that being a thing. Like, if you believe ghosts and demons and devils are real, like really believe, then you are more likely to succumb to this type of mental illness.
Yeah, because I imagine your brain sees it as a valid pattern to express its trauma through in a way that makes sense to you as a person.
Yeah, the mind is just a malleable thing, which is something we just simply don't understand all that much. Like, anthropologist Erica Bouillon in 1991 had this whole thing about the environment of belief and the set of accepted ideas about the spirit world that members of various communities absorb prepares you to achieve this possession state. It's kind of like the idea of people speaking in tongues at a church. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't have to be formally trained, right? Like, the dancers of 1518 had a belief that this was a divine curse, like there was bewitchment or something going on. And so when they entered these dance-like traits, they just assumed it wasn't them doing it. It was some outside force imposing it on them. So it made them more likely to succumb, because you can't fight an outside magical force.
Yeah.
But if it's in your head, you can attempt to fight back because it's in you. But most people just didn't believe that was the case.
But you have to believe in magic for it to work.
Kind of. Yeah.
That's so crazy, dude.
And
it just shows that, like, humans really have a hard time dealing with things they do not understand.
Yeah.
And that they will do anything in their power, whether they know consciously or not, a lot of the time, of just fitting patterns they understand onto an unknown that allows them to sleep at night to be like, oh, it's God's plan, or it's thundering out tonight because Zeus is pissed. You know, whatever the case is, whatever insert unknown thing, human minds are desperate to fit explanations over them.
Yeah. And like, this still happens. In 2006, 600 students at a school, all girls school in Mexico City, suddenly developed paralysis for some reason. In North Carolina in 2002, dozens of students experienced seizures. In 2011, several cheerleaders at a New York high school began to experience strange vocal sounds and twitching.
I remember this. Yeah.
But here's the thing, you say, is it real? But like, look at the beneficial side of this, the placebo effect. Like, it can be, if your brain is convinced it's real, it will become real.
Yeah.
Like, it's that weird thing with the placebo effect where you're medically getting nothing that's beneficial, but your brain believes it. And so you start getting the beneficial effects of it anyway, which is extremely bizarre, right? There is that good version of this in a weird way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like in the age of social media, it's happening more and more. So I'm sure anyone who has been on TikTok recognizes the TikTok tick, which is this thing that it occurs mostly in young women where they like watched a bunch of girls have Tourette's videos and suddenly they have Tourette's symptoms, even though they don't have Tourette's.
Yep.
They like get little ticks.
Man, TikTok is ruining minds, man. The attention span. It's killing me. TikTok is like, I'm noticing, like, I don't use it as much, but I still use it. And I'll notice if I use it before I want to meditate, it'll ruin my desire to meditate.
Before you sleep, you're done. All. You've ruined your entire night. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
It's crazy.
During COVID, as you guys brought up, people would develop like strange symptoms that were in no way connected to the COVID virus, but it was all because of anxiety based on potentially getting COVID. There were people who, this is a current thing happening that I think is fascinating because fentanyl is in the news so much as like, if you take even a small bit, you're dead.
Yeah,
people genuinely are out there thinking they have some interaction with fentanyl and like
they're like
having freakouts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's things happening to them where they think that like I've been drugged, but they just haven't because they're so stressed by the idea that they could eventually be killed by fentanyl.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
This is the same thing as the satanic panic. The idea that like there's evil forces out there. And many people weren't thinking about that. And now suddenly it's in their head. And that's all they're thinking about. Basically, all of these plagues, hysterias, etc., are just the human condition reacting to factors beyond our control. It's like coping, but in not the best way possible. And it continues to happen. And I think it's super fascinating because it's a look at the mind. And how, you know, we don't really understand it. We're in space right now, which is awesome. And we do a lot of ocean exploring, which is cool. But I think our mind is one of those final frontiers that we have not really explored because it's kind of hard. You have to be cutting people open and look, you know, like, it's a little difficult to do, but we don't understand it.
The metaphysical experiences that are similar that people have blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we can have something that's so far away from consensus reality, but that we all have some, like, not everybody, but like, for example, those fucking machine elves, like everybody talks about those guys and they're nothing like, there's nothing like that in real life.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's just super weird.
Yep. It's another example of just like the mind is capable of so much and we understand so little, but yeah, looking, if you just go online, there are so many examples of weird, mysterious plagues and hysterias that happen. And at the end of the day, it all boils down to the idea that at some point someone broke and others saw it and were like, oh, I have the go ahead to just let go as well.
Yeah,
I feel like even like Black Friday is like this.
Feel like even like one person tramples and suddenly everyone's trampling. Yeah. Yes.
Like remember the Pokemon Go like OG time, how crazy people were acting in the streets, like just nuts. You just learn how to be whimsical for a sec and you just do it.
Yeah. You let go and you're like, and I honestly, I think that's the case with a lot of people right now is we are kind of on a little bit of a powder keg of people being real stressed and it sends people in different directions, but it's very obvious right now. The world in general is like on edge.
Yeah. It's teeing people up for psychosis. And that's, I always say, like, you know, push for therapy because, like, whether you want to or not, the trauma of whether it's your upbringing, your day to day, the world, that sits in you, whether you want it to or not. You don't get a choice. Like, sits in you. And so you don't decide not to take care of it in a way with a professional where you can kind of like a little release valve, something, therapy, that will find its way to boil out of you in some fashion, whether that be psychosis or mental illness, like it happens and you don't have a choice. And a lot of people go through it expressing themselves without realizing that's even what's happening in the first place. Take care of your minds, take care of your brains, take care of your minds and take care of yourselves in these trying times, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse, thank you so much.
You are welcome.
We are off to go do a minisode at patreon.com/Jilluminati Pod. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode for you. I think Alex has the next couple episodes.
You better believe it.
Ooh, so we'll be back with an Alex duo of episodes next week. Thank you all so much. We appreciate you. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I suck your penis and ash-colored pussy.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky. We'll be right back.